Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board. There is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
Welcome, everybody, to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I am your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, 110 Nation fan page, 110 Nation Sports. Check out our site, www.110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. Glad to be back here. New time. Same show. Same great people. Before we jump into the reason why we slid the show forward an hour, thoughts and prayers out to Craig, co-host of Race Chat Live with Chris and Craig. I don't know all the details, and I do apologize. I know that he has had some medical stuff going on. So we want to make sure we send out thoughts and prayers and we're praying for you. The reason the show got slid forward an hour, and a couple reasons. One, my new position I went from, for those that know me a while, I've been running Circle K's. I went from having to go in at 7, 8, get off at 5, 6 in the evening kind of schedule to I got to be working at 4 a.m. every morning. So I give a 3:15. So my nights get a little bit earlier and earlier. I took over stores twice as business-wise than I've ever done. One of the busiest stores in the market. So it's been a task, a handful, and everything else. That is part of the reason why we slid the show an hour forward. Izzo knows, nobody else in the 110 Nation knows to this point, and only a couple people know. I've not made it on post on Facebook, but the other reason why we slid the show forward and why we weren't on air Wednesday last week, on the way home, I either fell asleep, passed out, or something. But I got in a car wreck, single car wreck at 5 o'clock. I did not come to until 11:30 that night. I was unresponsive when they got to me. I woke up, had tubes down my throat and hooked to an air machine and everything else. Coma, would call it what you want to call it. I definitely had a concussion, spent the next day throwing up anytime I moved. I've had a bunch of headaches, and so that's part of the reason why I don't know all the details of Craig's medical stuff, because between taking over a store and being busier than I've ever been, Miss Brandy even texted me today or yesterday and asked me today again if I was mad, and is, you know, wondering, because I hardly have time to talk. I really have time to eat. It's been a challenge. But also, we had to go get another phone on Saturday because today they finally released the hold on my car. And so now I got to figure out how to get that verbally before my Friday going to Gatlinburg for the weekend Christmas trip with Miss Brady and the kids and the family. But dealing with being in the hospital until Friday, not having a phone until Saturday, kind of getting rest, trying to get past these headaches. With the hold on the car, I've not seen the car. Part of me wants to see. I've been told by a couple of different officers the car is gone, it's totaled. Part of me wants to know how much God was with me that night. Should I have been brought back? Should I be here right now? But the other part of me wants to know what I did live through. Fortunate. I'm walking around the black eye right now, and I got some scabbing on my head where my head was cut open. Nothing that called for stitches, nothing broke, nothing missing, nothing other than them happening to bring me, make me responsive, because I was not responsive. Outside of that, I there's nothing. So kind of been a different week for me. Had a lot of things go through my head. I've had to really rethink things. Still a lot of things going through my head. Really got to evaluate choices I make and things that I do. Also different. Once again, not having a car and depending on people to go anywhere or do anything. Didn't have full coverage on the car, so and still had 3 years left to pay on it, so I got to figure that part of my life out as well, but that's here nor there. Looking forward to the opportunities at my new store. Kind of sucked. I was there for the first day of the takeover. It was supposed to be a two-day process of taking over, and then Friday I 100% in charge, and I'm there for the first day of the takeover on Wednesday, and I didn't go back till Monday, so. But anyway, nobody else in the 110 Nation has known to this point. I don't know if anybody's catching the show or not tonight, so I don't know who's all going to hear, who all is going to know or hear or anything on that. Like I said, I hadn't posted it on Facebook or anything. Contemplating whether or not once I get a picture of the car, whether or not I will or won't. There's a lot of other things going on with other people medically and personally that I didn't feel that I needed to draw a bunch of unnecessary attention, especially this time of year and everything else. Kind of a semi-funny story about this, though. We'll get into some sports. Honestly, when I woke up at 11:30 that night, I had no clue what the hell had happened. And the last thing I even remember is I was at a light. That's really the last thing I remember. I think that's what I remember. I don't really recall any of what happened. But when I woke up and after I got past the where am I at and figured out what was going on, my first question was to make sure that it was a single car incident, that there was nobody else involved, that I did not hurt, kill, or anything, anybody. That weighed on my mind until I could finally speak, until they finally took everything out of my throat so I could actually talk. All I could do was just lay there, and that was just constantly going through my mind. But honestly, when I thought, once they pulled everything out and I was able to speak, they were going to inform me that my family and everybody would be able to come in and come see me. I just assumed that everybody knew. Not thinking about the fact that I still had a North Carolina ID and everything else and didn't really have any contacts or anything or any way for anybody to get a hold. And so when I finally got the opportunity to speak, luckily, my mom has never changed her phone number. Same cell phone number for like 20 years now. This time of era and day, we don't memorize phone numbers. We put them in our cell phones, and that's life. Luckily. And for some reason, the hospital phone wouldn't work, so one of the doctors or nurses, whatever, let me use the phone, their phone to call. And my mom about didn't answer the phone because it came up scam likely or whatever. But she answered the phone, and she was already asleep. And ironically enough, she thought I was at Miss Brandy's because most nights, well, I'm there every day, but some nights I linger into that late. Most nights I'm home by 8, 9, maybe 10-ish o'clock. If I'm any later, that's because I'm done fell asleep at Miss Brandy. I usually fall asleep anyway, but some nights I fall asleep and I'm just a pain in the butt to get moving and get home. So ironically enough, she thought I was at Miss Brandy's house, and then Miss Brandy had been trying to get a hold of me since 5 o'clock. She gave up about 7 o'clock. I think she left one other message saying good night. Assumed that I had went home and went to fell asleep. So you had my mom thinking I was at Brandy's, Brandy thinking I was at my mom's. Needless to say, they were both shocked when the phone call came in, and I was in neither place. Got to thank my mom for everything that she has done and been there for throughout this last week at this point. Ms. Brandy, she has gone above and beyond. The most amazing woman that I have ever had in my life, and there's nothing that she would not do for me and has not done for me and has been there and has supported me and has really done everything she could to make me feel better and try to recover and help me put the pieces back together. My brother came to see me, and the day I got out of the hospital, came and got me, ran me around places trying to get my life back together and everything else. And my other brother lives in Columbus, about an hour away. He made a special trip to come down and see me. I didn't expect him to. Gotta thank all those people. But we're back on, but we will be from 8 to 9 o'clock. That way I can get off at 9 o'clock, get to bed. At least that way I get 5-6 hours of sleep and try to prevent any possibilities of happening what happened last week. That was not my best of moments. Last night we had a football game. We had the New Orleans Saints do battle with the Indianapolis Colts. And I'll tell you what an impressive outing for Drew Brees. Not only does Drew Brees become the quarterback that has thrown the most touchdowns by passing Peyton Manning's 504 touchdowns in his career. And not only does he already have the most yards in NFL history and the most completions in NFL history, and we'll have the best completion percentage by a quarterback for a career for a season. But after last night, he will own the single game record for best passing percentage by a quarterback that I don't think will ever be beat. I would be shocked on a quarterback. I would say would have to at least throw 20 or 25 passes. You could have somebody possibly go for 8 for 8, you know, backup quarterback. But I'm talking about a legit starting quarterback, complete game kind of scenario. As Drew Brees went 29 for 30. Who goes 29 for 30? Regardless of the team, Colts were fighting for any kind of hopes of anything. Like I was listening to earlier today, there's quarterbacks that go during the week and play a 7-on-7 with really no kind of defense pressure or anything else and don't go 29 for 30. You're talking about a real game scenario and a real defense out there and routes being broken up and everything else, and yet 29 for freaking 30. What about that they didn't think was going to. Remember, once upon a time, Doug Flutie was put in over him. Once upon a time, the San Diego Chargers said, you know what, we're going to go with Phillip Rivers. We're going to send you on your way. Once upon a time, he was looked over. God, I forget what team looked him over. because of his injury at that point in time. There was a conversation today about where he falls in all times. And this is where the ring or Super Bowl trophy conversation really gets kind of hairy with me, because and especially when it comes to the NFL, because there's not just one player. I can see when you're talking about the greatest tennis player of all time, you base Grand Slams or championships off of. Or when you talk about the greatest golfer of all time, you talk about PGA Tour wins or so forth. Even potentially racing, when you talk about greatest drivers of all time, you talk about who's got the most championships, even though you still got a team and it's a little more team involved versus driver, that I can almost go more with championships when you talk about greatest of all time. Football is a little bit different because you're relying on, you're only on one side of the ball. So either you're on offense or you're on defense. So we're talking about Drew Brees. There's a quarterback on offense. So if you're on a team that has the worst defense in the world, but yet you have the best stats ever to lay it down, at what point do championships not matter as much or matter at all? One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, I think people put him in at least the top 25, if not top 10. Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. Didn't have a run game. Defense wasn't the best. So at what point do we take away championships? You talk about the first 6 years. That's one of the knocks, is he's never really been viewed as the best at any point of time for a stretch. So do we knock him for the first 6 years being on a team that really wasn't that great in San Diego? Do we knock him? I mean, yes, he didn't perform the greatest, but was it all him? Was it had anything to do with the coaching, the game planning, game calling? I mean, he goes to New Orleans. I mean, he sat with Big Ten records at Purdue, records that are just now being beat, records that we watch. It's sad that there's even a drawing a blank in my head being an Ohio State fan. I keep wanting to say Haskins, but I know it's not Haskins. That was last year. But I think Haskins beat some of this record, or if not, multiple records before. But why am I the kid from Georgia, the transfer? Why am I drawing such a blank right now? But anyway, just finally beat it just finally beat the second person to pass Drew Brees ever. So it's not like, you know, he didn't have a dominant college career. Then he goes to New Orleans, and that's all we've talked about really since about 2006. It is Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, and they've won a Super Bowl, and you know, they were one bad call away from just going back to the Super Bowl instead of the Rams. And so at what point do championships not matter when you're talking about one player that is only on one side of the field that generally goes about 50-50? Yeah, sometimes, unless it's a horrible team, usually you're pretty even on time of possession. It might be 25 minutes versus 35 minutes, but generally you're pretty 27, 33, 31, 29. Usually you're pretty close. So you're only on the field half the time, and then you're only one person out of 11 people on the offense. So what happens if you end up in a dumpster fire team that doesn't have a legitimate running back and no real receivers? And I mean, And yet you statistically have the most yards, most touchdowns, one way or another. I mean, I understand that at the end of the day, championships win matter. We want rings. At the end of the day, that's what we want. But when you start talking about greatest of all time and who should be your top five quarterbacks, how is Drew Brees, who has the most passing yards of all time, who has the most touchdowns of all time, who has the best passing percentage in a career, who has the best passing percentage in a season, who has the best passing percentage in a single game that all three of them will probably never be beat. I can guarantee you the single game one will never be beat. So you're looking at the most accurate quarterback of all time. Now, granted, he's had some decent and good receivers. There's been times that the receiving corps has not been so great. Yes, you got Michael Thomas this year that is having a phenomenal season, but, I mean, this is a player that's only, 2 years removed from being at Ohio State. So it's not like they went out and got some superstar. They drafted a player that just happened to develop well and Drew Brees works really well with and is a great receiver. It's not always been that situation. He's not always had the best receivers out there. He's kind of like Drew. He's kind of like Tom Brady, that he'll get certain receivers that he feels comfortable with, likes to throw to, and kind of helps that receiver's career, makes them look really good, and some of them go on other teams and don't look so good. But most passing yards, most touchdowns, most accurate quarterback. And I'm listening to conversations of quarterbacks, players talking about he's not even in the top five, possibly not even in the top 10. You're more accurate than Tom Brady. You've thrown more touchdowns than Tom Brady. But because you don't play in the weakest division, the NFC East, or the AFC East, and for many years didn't play in what is considered the weakest conference, the AFC period, Brady managed to cakewalk his way to Super Bowl many years. You don't even view him in what they were laboring as tiers. Tom Brady on top, second tier of players, and they had him down in the third. I don't know if I would ever say Drew Brees. And I don't know why. I guess it's just something I've never thought about. I've never thought about, damn, Drew Brees. He's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. And I guess because a lot of times I fall into that whole same scenario, that whole same logic of thinking, you know, first thing I want to sit and think about when I talk about greatest of all times, okay, who's got the most championships? Who has took their teams to the most Super Bowls and won? And after sitting there and thinking about this and listening to this conversation today, I sit there and think to myself, why do we think that way? Why is Drew Brees never a quarterback? You know, I'm not going to say that the New Orleans Saints is the greatest team of all time, or the Saints is a dynasty. But why is the thought of Drew Brees being the GOAT at the quarterback position something that has never really crossed my mind? Have I fallen victim of I have fallen victim to having the same thought process? Because why is Drew Brees not in everybody's at least top five? Better yet, why is it been a matter of circumstances? How has he not been the league MVP, or at least even the NFC's MVP? Like, I don't get how that's even possible, not being the league MVP. Has there always been a season that there's been a player that much better than Drew Brees? Doesn't get hurt. I know this is a bad thing to say because he was out the first part of the season. Teddy Bridgewater stepped in and Saints still didn't miss a beat, but doesn't generally get hurt often. Most completions, most passing yards, most touchdowns, most accurate quarterback. Like, those are all the tangibles. Doesn't turn the ball over a lot, obviously, with the best completion percentage. And yet he's not a serious conversation of greatest of all time or even top five. Because the first thing we want to go look at is, oh, he's only won one Super Bowl. That's crazy. Oh, Lord have mercy. Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs. Question of the day was, are we overlooking the Kansas City Chiefs? Mahomes feels people are overlooking the Kansas City Chiefs. To be honest, I'm tired of hearing about the Kansas City Chiefs. Ever since they've gotten Patrick Mahomes, that has been the most over-talked, over-hyped, overrated team in the entire NFL. People give it a rest. It's not going to happen. Kansas City's not winning a Super Bowl. But they're definitely not winning the Super Bowl or even going to the Super Bowl as long as Tom Brady is still playing. That man can be 50 years old and still will find a way to shut the Kansas City Chiefs out of the Super Bowl. It's not there. There are too many teams in the NFC that, and it's not going to happen. Lord have mercy, let's not, please, not get down to they being Baltimore, Kansas City, and an AFC championship, two things won. I don't want either team to go. So either way, I'm going to lose. But two, we're going to have to listen to about two overly talked quarterbacks. God, you would have thought that Patrick Mahomes had done split the Red Sea. And their football team is, you know, they're playing in the middle of where the sea should be or something. What has he honestly accomplished at this point? He can't even get past the Patriots and a 45 million year old Tom Brady to get to the Super Bowl. Oh, Lord have mercy. We got Izzo joining us. Go ahead. I didn't realize it was already 8:30. Internet's down tonight, so I have to do everything from the phone. So, kind of shaking things up a little bit tonight. But anyway, got Izzo in the house. He's going to be joining us at 8:30 on Tuesday nights now, so we're glad to have him be able to make that adjustment and make it so I can get my sleep. But without any further delay, let's get Izzo in the studio. Izzo, how you doing tonight?
Hey, we're doing pretty good. We got some good hockey on tonight. But first, real quick, I want to congratulate my high school alma mater on winning the state championship in the Pennsylvania area. They are back-to-back state champions. Glad to see my grandfather, who is a coach for that team, get his second gold ring. So I want to congratulate my alma mater, like I said, the Farrell Steelers, on a season well done, who started the season 0-2, trying to defend their state title, but then pitched 8 straight shutouts, Jay, to get into the state tournament, and therefore, you know, do what they do best. You know, it was a great game. Went into overtime. Was won by a field goal by a family member of mine, Brian Hilton Jr., who hit a 22-yard field goal, 25-yard field goal against the wind, and the ball barely made it, just 3 feet past the crossbar of the field goal post. So it was a lot of drama going on, and a lot of fun out in Hershey Park. That's where the state title games are held at, in Pennsylvania, at Hershey Park. So congratulations to all the teams that won the state title, you know, for their respective classes. But, you know, once again, it's not about high school football. It's about hockey. Unfortunately, we do have one sad story. I do want to give a shout-out to Philadelphia Flyers' Oscar Lindblom, who has been diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer at the age of 23. This is a huge blow to the Flyers, who's been an integral part of what they've been doing, you know, so far this season. He has not skated the past couple of weeks, has gone back. He's in Pennsylvania with the University of Pennsylvania trying to, you know, explore treatment options right now. So all of our thoughts and prayers in the NHL community and the hockey community are out with Oscar Lindblom right now. The Flyers have been hanging his jerseys up in their recent road trip that they had, but this is just a devastating blow to not only to a hockey player, but to somebody who is very young and who has to go through a very hard trial, you know, up ahead. He is going to be out for the rest of the season as they begin treatment for this bone cancer that he has. So thoughts and prayers to Oscar and the Philadelphia Flyers and even his family. We pray that you make it. Even though I am not a Flyers fan, we always wish our hockey family the best when it comes to trials like this. So hopefully Oscar can get this nipped in the bud and be a fighter and get back to playing the game that he loves. Other than that, Jay, we got some games that are in session right now. Getting ready to kick off here right now, or actually in a little bit here in about 25 minutes. The Penguins are out in Calgary taking on the Flames. That game is slated to start at 8 p.m. The Kings are in Boston taking on the Bruins. There's 5:35 left in the second. That game is tied at 2. Game on NBCSN right now. We got the Buffalo Sabres in Toronto taking on the Maple Leafs. That game just went into the end of the second period. The Maple Leafs are all over the Sabres, 3-0. 4 minutes left to go in the second period right now. The Senators are down in Tampa taking on the Lightning. That game is tied at 3. Also 4 minutes left to go in the second. The Predators are in Long Island taking on the Islanders. That game is also tied at 3. With 2:15 left to go in the second period, we got the Ducks in Philly taking on the Flyers. The Flyers are up 2-1 on the Ducks right now. Just beginning the second period with about 18:30 left, Jay, your Blue Jackets are in Detroit taking on the Red Wings. That game right now is tied at 2. For all of our Carolina faithful, they're in Winnipeg taking on the Jets with 5:20 left to go in the first period. That game is tied at 0. We have a couple later games starting later tonight at 9. We got the Canadiens out in Vancouver taking on the Canucks. The Minnesota Wild are in Vegas taking on the Golden Knights. And then 9:30 later tonight, the far west coast, we got the Arizona Coyotes taking on the San Jose Sharks. Real quick, Jay, we're going to start off with the Coyotes really, really quick, who made a huge trade yesterday, you know, probably around 4 or 5 o'clock, which is something I did not see coming. But Taylor Hall, who was the subject of trade rumors slash contract negotiations with the Devils, was traded from the Devils to the Coyotes yesterday. The Devils are going to receive forwards Nicholas Merkley, Nate Schnarr, and defenseman Kevin Blahl, a conditional first-round pick and a conditional third-round pick. that third round pick could turn into a first round pick if Taylor Hall decides to sign with Arizona long term. So I know a lot of Devil fans are rooting for the Coyotes to do well and to possibly get him signed so they can get another first round draft pick to try and bolster their team in the next next year's draft. But Chaka, who is the GM for the Coyotes, has been very aggressive in recent years trying to make this team into what it is. Right now, if you look, the Coyotes have been one of the better teams this year. I think they're sitting second place currently in the Pacific Division. And who also made a splash, you know, in the offseason by acquiring Phil Kessel. So now it seems that this team has a dynamic duo with Phil Kessel and now Taylor Hall. This is a significant move for the Coyotes. I do believe this is going to benefit them. Hopefully he's not a rental player. He could buy into what Arizona's trying to do right now. They got a stout team that's, you know, stacked from top to bottom, you know, not only on the offensive side but the defensive side. And the goaltending has been absolutely phenomenal for him. This is going to make a huge splash in that Pacific Division. When you look at it right now, it's, you know, that Pacific Division has been, you know, has been, I wouldn't say surprising, but as of right now, the Coyotes are in first place in the Pacific Division. I do apologize. I did think they were in second place, but right now they're playing amazing hockey right now. Not so good at home, but they've been a great team on the road. 11-4-3 on the road, only 8-8 at home. I would like to see them get a little bit better at home. Who knows what's going on at home with them right now? You know, hopefully, you know, revenue is going to be generated. People are going to start coming out and see the team. I think Taylor Hall is going to really add a lot of depth, and not only just depth, but scoring depth too. It's going to take a lot of tension off of Phil Kessel and other guys like that. I do see him being plugged into their power play unit, you know, almost immediately. I don't know when Taylor Hall is expected to make his debut for the Coyotes, but I do believe if he's not playing tonight, that he will certainly be playing their next game. So, you know, this was the biggest move that I've seen so far when it comes to trades and everything. But right now, Taylor Hall is now an Arizona Coyote, and we'll see what happens in the future with that. Jay.
You're right.
Also, other big news that came out, especially out of L.A., Ilya Kovalchuk, who was released, was actually waived by the Kings last Tuesday. Ilya Kovalchuk, before he came to L.A., he spent a few years in St. Petersburg with the SKA team in the KHL, which is the Russian Elite League over there. Spent a few seasons over there. Last played in the NHL. I think it was in 2012 when he led the Devils to the Stanley Cup Finals, where they lost to the Kings. But right now, it's unfortunate. Yeah, he's been a healthy scratch for a good portion of the season. He's only tallied 3 goals and 6 assists in 17 games, and he's been a scratch since November 9th. He did sign a 3-year, $18.75 million contract with the Kings on July 1st of 2018. So we'll see what's going to happen with him. I have not seen anybody make the move to try and sign him right now. He is getting up there in age. He was the first, the number one pick by the Atlanta Thrashers back in 2001. Has 859 points. All together in his career, 436 goals, 423 assists, and 897 games. He scored 52 goals in 05, 06, and 07, 08, and has six seasons of at least 40 goals. And, you know, he was a hell of a player in his younger days. I think he's 35, 36 years old right now. So the turnaround has been kind of unfortunate for him. The Kings haven't really seen any return for what they were expecting from Kovalchuk. So, unfortunately, you know, right now Kovalchuk is looking for a place to play. He is healthy. I do believe he can still be, you know, a productive player, possibly on a second or third line with any kind of team. So we're going to be – I'm going to be paying close attention to this. I do believe that he's going to add some secondary scoring for whoever, you know, whatever team decides to you know, acquire his services. So those are the two big moves this week, Jay. And it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with Ilya Kovalchuk moving forward.
I know we talk about this every year. This game is a big deal. And I can't remember if you've been to one, so refresh my memory. But we got the Winter Classic coming up in January. Cotton Bowl, Dallas. One, remind me if you've been one or not. Two, is Dallas close enough, and is that something that is a possibility for you? But also talk about the Winter Classic that's coming up and what is different for those that are maybe new NHL fans, what is different from the Winter Classic versus normal games, and what you like different about the Classic versus a regular indoor game.
Well, I have not been to a Winter Classic. You know, I've always wanted to go to one. I think it would be an interesting experience just because, you know, when you look at most of the people that play hockey, you know, 9 times out of 10, they start on an outdoor pond or outdoor rink. Uh-huh. It kind of brings you back to the bones of the game and everything. You know, with the game being held this far south, you know, Dallas is only a couple hours away. Usually it takes, no matter where you live at in Houston, usually it takes you an hour to get outside of Houston. And that's just the way the traffic goes and everything. But, you know, Dallas being right up the road, and it being the Cotton Bowl, which is iconic in its, you know, own right, you know, how many classic games have been played at the Cotton Bowl for college football. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see. We've got the Dallas Stars taking on the Nashville Predators. You know, if I could, I would love to go. That's still up in the air right now, so I'm really trying to work my magic on trying to get there. It would be awesome to do. My two little cousins who live up in that area don't live far from that area. I would crash there, one of their apartments, and bring a bunch of beer and you know, have some fun with them and kind of explain what would be, you know, what's going on. But excuse me. Winter Classic is going to be held New Year's Day. That game will be broadcasted on NBC. I'm not entirely too sure when the game is going to be scheduled. It's all going to be dependent on what the weather is going to be like. But the game is set for New Year's Day, just like it is every year. It's always sponsored by Bridgestone, a great tire company that's, you know, kind of taken and ran with it. You're also going to have the Road to the Winter Classic, which will feature, which will be featured on, you know, the follow-up between the Predators and the Stars. You know, they're going to be following the team and following games leading up to the NHL Classic and everything. So it kind of gives you a behind-the-scenes look of how teams prepare for games, how they're going to be preparing for the Winter Classic. It is going to be a different element. When you look at an outdoor game, you have the elements to deal with, whether it's weather, you know, most of it being weather-related, you know, how's the ice going to feel? Is it going to be different? Because when you look at an indoor game, you have climate-controlled elements. You know, the ice is pretty, you know, consistent, you know, game in and game out when you look at an indoor game. So this is going to be a special one. We've seen some outdoor games played out in California before, but never down in Texas. So I'm interested to see how the fans are going to take it in. I do know that there's probably going to be a big turnout for it. The Dallas Stars are, they are, you know, a good hockey team. They have a pretty good fan base up in Dallas and everything. And what's, you know, and when you look at Nashville, Nashville's always got a good fan following, especially for the recent success in, you know, in the past couple of seasons. So, you know, the road to the Winter Classic is always going to be interesting to follow, which will be on NBCSN, excuse me. Episode 1 is going to debut Monday, December 23rd at 10:30 Eastern, which will be following the New York Rangers and the Philadelphia Flyers. Episode 2 is going to be on Friday, December 27th at 6:30 Eastern. And then the last episode is going to be on Monday, January 6th at 10:30 Eastern, following the Edmonton Oilers-Toronto Maple Leafs game. It's going to be, you know, it's always going to be an interesting thing. You are going to see a lot of cool things. The jerseys have been released. I have got to take a peek at them. They are pretty snazzy. I do like how teams approach the retro kind of look, the old school look when it comes to jerseys and everything. We've seen all kinds of cool jerseys, you know, from the Blackhawks, the Penguins, the Flyers, the Rangers, the Bruins, and the Red Wings and the Maple Leafs. You know, every team that has participated in the Winter Classic, you know, has always done fairly well with their jerseys. And I'm especially excited to see, you know, an outdoor game this far south. Dallas does get cold during that time, during this time of the year. You know, so I do believe that, you know, sometimes they do get freezing and they do get snow. You know, so I do believe that, you know, at that point in time, weather's not going to be a big, big two factor, but, you know, it's still a little early to tell on what's going to be, what the weather's going to do and everything. But I do believe that the, you know, if they can get ice out at Dodger Stadium, they can get ice at the Cotton Bowl up in Dallas. Dallas is a pretty wide open place. I do believe that the wind is going to be a big factor. It does get pretty windy up in Dallas, so we're going to see, you know, we're going to see some players taking some extra precautions, you know, to make sure that they're ready, that they're well adjusted, that they have the proper attire to handle the elements, whether it be, you know, extremely freezing and, or extremely cold. I do remember a Winter Classic at Heinz Field a few years ago, or actually quite a few years ago, between the Penguins and the Washington Capitals, where they had to push the game time back a few hours just because of it not being cold enough and the rink not freezing properly. So, you know, this is always something that the NHL is always concerned with, making sure that, you know, the players are going to be safe, you know, that there's not going to be any kind of issues on the ice. You know, I'm constantly following, you know, what the weather's going to be like, you know, looking forward, you know, to that day and everything. So, you know, if you want to see what these players are going to do, you know, follow the road to the NHL Winter Classic. It will be, like I said, aired on NBCSN. It is going to be on NHL Network too, for all those who have the NHL Network. I do know that episodes on the NHL Network are going to air on December 24th at 9 p.m. Eastern, December 28th at 6 p.m. Eastern, and January 8th at 9 p.m. Eastern. So this is a pretty interesting look to get a behind-the-scenes look at the locker room, you know, coaching strategies, how and what the workings are, you know, in between periods, and how coaching adjustments, you know, during the game are approached and handled. So it's a pretty interesting series to watch. They've been doing this now for the last couple seasons. It's almost kind of like Hard Knocks a little bit for the NFL. I always look forward to it. I always watch them every year because it gives you that much more insight to what the locker room atmosphere is when it comes to these big time games. So, you know, it's an outdoor game, and like I said, you know, 9 out of 10 hockey players, when they start playing, they get their skates on the pond or on the lake, or sometimes just homemade rinks in the backyard. So it kind of takes you back to those days of being a little kid and pretending to be Wayne Gretzky or Bobby Orr or Mario Lemieux or, you know, whoever, Bobby Hall, Guy Lafleur, you know. So I can remember, you know, times being a kid and going out to one of my mom's friend's house who had a pond in his backyard and would freeze it every year. You know, you got your hat and your scarf on, you got your skates and your long johns underneath and everything. And then, you know, you go in the shack, you got the wood burning stove and you got the potatoes and the foil wrapped up to throw them in your boots to thaw out your skate boots so you can get your foot in there without any issues and everything. So it's always fun, you know, it's always fun. Even when you get older, you know, I can remember playing with some friends from college that I played with in high school and college, where we'd get the keg buried in the snow and just go play pond hockey all night long. So, you know, black ice, you know, it's always fun to play on the black ice, you know, when you're outdoors. It's always a treat, especially for the guys playing. Maybe not for the ones who were there, like the girlfriends or, you know, whoever, who kind of have, you know, issues being cold and everything. But, you know, for me, you could skate out there for hours, you know, until your toes start hurting, you know. And I've had that happen to me plenty of times, where I'm out there for hours on end and hours on end. And, you know, when you get off the ice and you take your skates off, you can barely walk. But it's just all for the love of the game, Jay.
It's funny because after I sat there and sort of said it and thought about in Dallas and hyping all of the fact you're right there, I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know. There's certain sports I don't – like a football game, I picture Cleveland, Pittsburgh, New York, cold weather, snow weather. And so when I'm picturing an outdoor hockey game, that's kind of what I'm picturing as well. I just can't picture a game in Dallas where it's it might be freezing, but possibly more than likely not. I don't know. I'm not a big hockey guy, and I'm sure, you know, I've been to football games in the middle of summer, and, you know, in regular time, and if I have an opportunity to go to a hockey game, I'm going to go regardless of what the weather is. But if I had the ideal situation, it would be somewhere up north, snow. If I had my choice, it would either be somewhere in New York or maybe Milwaukee area, Minnesota, somewhere up there where I'm going to be out in the cold, the snow, and watch a hockey game. If I had, I'm going to the December 29th. I'm hoping there's snow in Cincinnati when I go watch the Browns in Cincinnati play. So I'm sitting there just trying to visualize this as you're talking about it. Obviously, you are going to be glued into watching this series on the road to the Winter Classics. Definitely keep us informed on that and what your thoughts are on that. I know I got drawn in the year that Hard Knocks did Cleveland. That's the only year I actually watched the Hard Knocks. And I know how interesting and intriguing it was to me to be able to see behind the scenes and all that stuff. So definitely keep us in the loop with that. Coyotes and the Devils made a trade as well. Hall was traded to the Coyotes by the Devils. Good move for the Devils to get rid of Hall, and in the exchange and everything, who won, who got the better end of this deal, and was this a good move by Coyote to move Hall off the roster?
You know, it's kind of hard to say right now, but, you know, I definitely, when you look at the trade right now as of what it looks like right now on paper, you definitely have to say the Coyotes won. You know, them being in first place right now in the Pacific Division, it's only going to make them that much better. I don't think the Devils wanted to go this route. I certainly believe that, you know, with the Devils drafting Hughes, picking up PK Subban, and having – you know, some certain players that are still in that adjustment period where they're, you know, just a little bit young. They haven't got, you know, they haven't hit that potential yet. With them receiving, a conditional first round pick and that conditional third round pick, you know, with that conditional third round pick, depending on what happens, if the Coyotes can get him signed to a long-term deal, it's going to turn into a conditional first round pick. So when you look at that, you possibly can get two first round draft picks, you know, just like that, which could, you know, evidently change, you know, the whole outlook, you know, for the Devils right now. Goaltending has been an issue for them. Corey Schneider, who they acquired, you know, some seasons back to try and solidify that, you know, it's hard to fill the shoes of a Martin Brodeur who spent years in New Jersey, won some cups there, won Vezina trophies there. You know, when you think of New Jersey Devils, you know, Marty Brodeur is one of the names that pops up, you know, when it comes to that franchise. But right now, Blackwood's been playing pretty solid for him. Unfortunately, the Devils are near the bottom of the Eastern Conference standings. And I don't think this is the way that Ray Shiro, the general manager of the Devils, pictured the way this season to go. They did fire their coach, Hines, last week or the week before. I think it was like a week, week and a half ago. And Nasruddin right now is trying to right that ship. But getting some getting draft picks, especially two first-round draft picks, if you can, if the Coyotes manage to get him to sign and stay there long-term, this could work out for the Devils. You know, they've been pretty solid on their scouting so far with some of the talent they've been bringing in. You know, and I think they're only a couple pieces away. And once they get those, I think once they, you know, solidify that goaltending spot and they pick some right players up, you know, maybe another offensive stud like Jack Hughes, who they drafted first round last year, who's been spectacular for them, you know, so far this year. He's been playing solid hockey. You know, I do believe that there was just a chemistry thing. John Hines, who was the coach who was ultimately fired, just was not, I don't know. It just didn't work out for them. And I think, you know, I think chemistry was a big, big deal for that. And, you know, with this trade right now, I mean, on paper, I think the Coyotes won. But something had to be done. I do know that there were contract negotiations that were supposed to happen between Taylor Hall and his agent, or with Taylor Hall's agent and the Devils. So that's not going to be happening. So now we're going to see if, you know, Taylor Hall is just going to be a rental player this year for the Coyotes, or is he going to be there long term? I do believe if the Coyotes can make a deep run into the playoffs, you know, second, third round, that could entice him to stay. When you have a pure goal scorer like Phil Kessel playing alongside of you, and Taylor Hall being the playmaker that he is, the possibilities are endless for the Coyotes. You know, the Coyotes have been kind of a spotty team when you look at the last maybe 7-8 seasons. They've had some years where they've done fairly well. They've also had some years where they just completely crapped the bed and definitely underperformed. So Rick Tocchet right now going in the right direction. He's a great coach. He was also a great player for a lot of years. You know, he's got that team pointed in the right direction. Goaltending has been phenomenal for the Coyotes and how they've been playing so far. And that's going to go a long way to see if they can get Taylor Hall signed to a long-term deal.
Has become probably my favorite part of your segment is the three stars of the week. So let's jump into that, and then also what games should we be focused on as we get wrapped up?
Well, the three stars that we have for this week, Max Pacioretty was the first star. He had 5 goals and 3 assists in 4 contests during the week to help the Golden Knights win 3 of the 4 contests and move to second place in the Pacific Division, 1 point back of the Coyotes. You know, Pacioretty was acquired by the Knights from Montreal. And Pacioretty's been an excellent, you know, an excellent acquisition for him. You know, he's only 31. He's a natural-born leader, was the captain, was actually the first American-born captain for the Montreal Canadiens in their illustrious history, which goes over 100 years, you know, so that's saying something. Usually the Montreal Canadiens, like their French-Canadian guys, you know, Saku Koivu is probably the only exception, you know, European-born players. So it was definitely interesting. I was always a big Max Pacioretty fan, you know, just for being American-born and being the captain of the Montreal Canadiens. So it seemed to work out for him, and I think he's enjoying his time in Vegas. Second star, Anthony Duclair from the Ottawa Senators, who is actually a draft pick of the Coyotes a few seasons ago. He led the league last week with 5 goals, including a pair of multi-goal outings, with 5 goals, 1 assist for 6 points across 3 games to help the Senators capture 5 of a possible 6 points in the standings. You know, he's been an excellent player. You know, he's one of those exciting players to watch, has a lot of razzle-dazzle in his game, can really put that puck in the net, obviously scoring 5 goals last week. You know, that'll certainly get you looked at, you know, week in and week out for the 3 stars of the week. Excuse me. He's, you know, performing well with Ottawa right now. Ottawa's, you know, really relying on a lot of young skaters right now. He's tied for 9th in the NHL with 18 goals this season, so he's only 2 shy of his career high. He set back in 2015-16 with 20 goals in 81 games played. So, you know, Duclair is going to be probably possibly hitting that 35, maybe that 40-goal mark by the time the season's done. Third star of the week, Captain Jack Eichel of the Buffalo Sabres. Had multiple points in each of his 3 games last week and tied for the league with 5 goals. 5 goals, 1 assist, 6 points, just like Duclair. Helped the Sabres get 5 of possible 6 points, too, as well. Moved into second place in the Atlantic Division. You know, if you look at this Sabres team, what a turnaround. You know, when you make some moves, you know, and sign the right players and get the chemistry going, Eichel is definitely one of those top talents in the league right now, very young still, and still has a lot of potential to be tapped. So he's definitely a game changer. He's always going to be a game changer, and he's going to do some good things up in Buffalo when it comes to the Sabres. You know, he's always going to be that guy that you're always going to want to try and watch out for game in and game out. Games I'm going to be paying attention to this week. Also, one quick note, if you guys are interested, the NHL.com has introduced something new where you can go online and go to the NHL.com website and vote for the free game of the week to watch on NHL.tv. You can do this, I think, every beginning of the week, if I'm not mistaken, where you can go through and pick the game of the week to be the free game of the week, which is this is something brand new that the NHL is doing. So if you notice that there is a game and you believe that other people want to see it, you can go on NHL.com and vote for that game to be able to watch it for free on the NHL on NHL.com or NHL.tv. So go ahead and always check that out. That's going to be a weekly thing for the rest of the season. Games I'm going to be paying attention to tomorrow on NBCSN, Wednesday Night Hockey. We got the Avalanche in Chicago taking on the Blackhawks, which is a game I'm probably going to end up watching tomorrow while I'm baking cookies for the Christmas holiday. Couple games I'm going to be watching on Thursday. We got the Islanders in Boston taking on Bruins. These are a pair of 20-win teams right now. Islanders with 22 wins on the season, Bruins with 21 on the season. They're going to be doing battle. This game is going to be on NBCSN on Thursday at 6 p.m. Well, I think it's 7 p.m. Eastern for you guys. Also interesting that I'm going to be watching are the Stars and the Lightning. Obviously, I'm going to be paying attention to the Stars and see how they're going to be rolling into the Winter Classic. That's a game that I'm going to be interested in seeing. Jay, your Blue Jackets are going to be hosting the struggling Kings right now. The Blue Jackets, who have actually been playing pretty solid as of lately, have managed to reel off a couple wins here and there, have started to look pretty good thus far in the month of December. Friday, we got a couple good games. We got one game that's going to be on NHL Network. For those who have the NHL Network on their cable package, we got the Toronto Maple Leafs going into Madison Square Garden to take on the Rangers. These two teams have been playing fairly well and have seemed to turn their woes around for their respective teams right now. So that's a game I'm going to be paying attention to. Also, the Penguins and the Oilers are going to be doing battle up in Edmonton. That's a game I'm also going to be paying attention to. Saturday, we do have a couple games. We got the Ducks taking on the Islanders in Long Island. That game will be played. That's going to be an early afternoon game at 12 p.m. I think it's going to be 1 p.m. Eastern and everything. And then the Predators, who are going to be taking on the Bruins, obviously going to be watching the Predators as they skate into the Winter Classic. That game is going to be on at 7 p.m. Eastern time, I do believe. also, we got the Lightning taking on the Capitals on Saturday, too, as well. This game's going to be on the NHL Network. They're going to be in D.C. Doing battle there. Another game, Jay, your Blue Jackets are going to be hosting the Struggling Devils as of right now on Saturday as well. And then when we go into Sunday, only four games on Sunday. We're going to have the Ducks and the Rangers doing battle, the Coyotes and the Red Wings doing battle, Flames and Stars, Golden Knights and Sharks. The Ducks and Rangers game is also going to be on the NHL Network that day. I do believe that that game is going to be at 12:30 Eastern time, early Sunday afternoon. Going into Monday, we got the Hurricanes taking on the Maple Leafs, and the Hurricanes have been doing amazing things right now for all of our Carolina faithful. So if you're not on that bandwagon, I'd suggest you start getting on it here pretty soon, because they're making a push right now and kind of creeping up the standings and everything as of right now. Also, Monday, Jay, your Blue Jackets are going to be taking on the Islanders in Long Island. Another interesting game to pay attention to. And then we are going to have a big rivalry game also on Monday on NBCSN. We got the Rangers going into Philadelphia to take on the Flyers. A lot of bad blood between these two teams. They do not like each other. So that's going to be an interesting game to watch. So those are the games I'm going to be paying attention to this week. And I highly suggest that you guys grab your cold ones, you know, and pay attention to them too as well. There is no games on Tuesday or next Wednesday or next Thursday due to the holiday break. Games will resume on Friday, December 27th. Usually the NHL is pretty good at not having any games for the Christmas holidays for the guys, so they get a chance to be with their families and such. So that's what we got on tap for the next week. And, you know, I'm certainly going to have my my cold beverages handy for this week's slew of games, Jay.
Got you. We will stay in contact throughout this week. More than likely, we'll show that Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, it'll be the Christmas Day. I think I got plans when I wanted to make sure everybody else was playing. So I'm going to stay, no show. And we'll pick it back up. I might pick it up after the first, because then the following week, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. So we might have the next couple weeks off. We might do replays. I'll stay in contact with you this week. But you have a safe week, sir. Thank you for everything that you do. Looking forward to 2020 and doing some great things across the board with everybody. And you have a good night.
Hey, we want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. We hope everybody stays safe and has a great holiday. You know, everybody stay safe. Enjoy the family. Enjoy the food. Enjoy the company. And most of all, enjoy that hockey. So until next time, guys, big shout-out to Craig, one of our friends who's at the 110 Nation. We're all thinking of you, man. Hope everything's gone smoothly. So you're always in our thoughts and our prayers. And like I said, Merry Christmas to everyone.
Yes, sir. Talk to you later. I want to thank Izzo for helping us out tonight. And I want to thank everybody here at the 110 Nation for everything they do. Like I said, not sure if we'll have any more shows the rest of this year. Just thinking about it, next week, next Tuesday would be Christmas Eve, and then Wednesday would be Christmas Day. And I know that we got Christmas Eve. As a matter of fact, I know no Christmas Eve show, because we got a Christmas service that Brandy, the kids, and I are going with my mom. So I can guarantee no show for next week, and then more than likely not the following week as well, as everybody is going to be doing their New Year's Eve and getting ready to bring in the new year. But looking forward to 2020. We got a lot of great things planned, a lot of great things going to happen in 2020. So very excited about that. Looking forward to trying to find another co-host, and we're working on a platform for one of the shows, and
course, Race Chat Live coming back next year as well. So a lot of great things in the work, and we'll get things rolling like we once had. Don't forget, you can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. Follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, 110 Nation fan page, 110 Nation Sports. Got to thank Carolina Sports Plus for sticking with us, and looking forward to building on our relationship in the next year, in the 2020. Tomorrow night, right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, the 110 Nation Sports Show. Till then, you guys have a great night.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Sports. You are a part of the 110 Nation, so be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports. Until next time.